Welcome to Metacast. I'm Josh Anderson.
And I'm Bob Galen. And it's, Josh, it has been a long time, don't you think?
It has. Too long.
It's too long.
It's a new year.
So, Metacasters, we're a little punchy. This is we're in beautiful downtown or outskirts of Raleigh during lunchtime. So this is a different time for us. We're at the home range for Josh.
Yes.
I'm a bit punchy because we haven't talked for a while. So we were struggling to stop laughing.
You haven't been able to get that word count up and on the web?
The what?
The word count. Your daily word count usage.
Josh,
podcasts?
Josh, well, not in podcasts, but I managed to get my word count out there, trust me. At home, at work, in the streets.
That's fair.
You know me.
Okay.
When have I been quiet, Josh? Only when I'm really, really tired or drunk. One or the other. Let's not go there.
That's another topic for another day.
Not for a Metacast, I think. So, Metacasters, I think we want to apologize a little bit for all 10 of you who've patiently been waiting for the next Metacast.
Thank you.
That we've sort of blown it a little bit. When was our last Metacast, Josh?
Last year.
Was it really?
Yeah, it was towards the end of the year.
Holy cow. So, yeah. Metacasters, we apologize for going off air, but we're going to try our darndest to be more regular. Not irregular anymore, but
yes.
More regular,
yes.
And have some regular podcasts. So bear with us, and it's a new year, so it's 2012, and we'll try to start it off with a bang.
A bang.
So what's our topic today, John?
I'm just going to keep repeating words you say.
I can tell that. So I feel like I'm in the WWE or something like that, right? And you know, you're Hulk Hogan, and I'm whatever
you said
the
we're
announcer.
Punchy, right? So I'm just repeating random words you say.
You say.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to dig into topics that have been in the front of our Agile lives for the past couple months. So for me, we've been looking at how we plan. We plan due to organizational constraints for a 6 to 9 month release, and that can present problems when you're trying to do things as agile as possible. When Bob and I started here, we brought the theory, the plan for story points to be our unit of measure, unit of sizing, unit of estimation. And I distinctly remember the moment in a meeting standing in front of the entire company when I equated story points to person days.
Ooh.
Yes.
You did that.
I did, and I immediately wanted to retract that statement.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sure you regretted that.
I do, and I regret it to this day, without a doubt.
Yeah.
Because of all the issues that it's caused. But one of the things that we've been talking about here with my management team is if we really think in person days, should that be our unit? And I don't like it. I don't think it's ideal, but is it what would work for us? So I don't know if you've been down that path and would say, Josh, don't do it. Don't go to the dark side. Or
it's not a dark side, but I have been down that. I mean, I try. It's not just down that path. I've drunk the Kool-Aid. You and I both have drunk the Kool-Aid, and we sort of know the basics. And then when we avoid the basics, you know, we'll experiment.
Mm-hmm.
And then I continually come back to, crap, I didn't do what I should have done. It's not that it's a terrible decision, but then I come back to the soundness of the basics. It's like football and blocking and tackling. Oh, yes. And blocking and tackling. When you do it poorly, it comes back and it reminds you like what good looks like versus what bad.
Well,
so the intention of story points, it's a two-phased, it's come back, and you disagree with me, but I think in terms of story points, it's trying to what? It's trying to do that two-phase. You're trying to abstract yourself from time, and you're trying to look at complexity and level of effort in a relative way for relative sizing of backlog, of units of work, of stories, of things that you're going to do, so that the team isn't caught around the axles of what time and person-to-person measurement.
But my theory and what I've seen is that, yeah, we say that, and we agree that, but people's minds work in person days, and I've been unable to flip that person day bit to where I just turn it off in people.
I don't think you want to turn it off, but I think I actually, when I explain story points, I'll bring days into play. So I'll talk in terms of 13 points recently in the last 5 years, I've noticed that teams, 2 week sprints, a 13-point story across teams from different companies.
Right.
13-point stories sort of fit in general into a 2 week sprint. They're long stories for, so a 20-point story would not fit into a 2 week sprint.
Right.
In my recent experience, and a 13-point story would. And so I'll talk in terms of, oh, a 13-point story fits into a 2 week, so now I'm bringing in time, a 2 week interval, and I talk in terms of two or three people.
Right.
So I'll say two or three people, a half a team, somewhere between, not one person, but a 13-point story will take, you know, a quarter of a team to a half of a team about 2 weeks to finish on route. So think about that.
Right.
Think about people, think about time, weeks. But I'm not. But also, I emphasize complexity, that you're not making a blood oath commitment to the business, that you're not guaranteeing that it's going to take that long, right? You're trying. It's an estimate. It's a rough estimate.
Well, but see, that's part of the issue that we have, is that we are committing to 9 months worth of work. So that's where people get uncomfortable with the loosey-goosey nature, I know that's not exactly what it is, of story points, of how do we know that we're really getting that, or what does that equate to? Those are some of the challenges I've been trying to
Let's forget people for a second. Let's talk about you.
Right.
So do you get antsy? So I know that there's leaders that you report to, there's project managers in your organization, there's the organizational dynamic.
Right.
But do you personally, Josh Anderson, do you struggle with it? Or do you feel, you know, are you comfortable with the notion, and would you sign, you know, do you sign off on it yourself?
So, yes, and I do, but I also see the churn that's caused organizationally in the fact that when I put a plan in front of somebody with a release burn down and a number of points, the number of sprints it's going to take to get to zero, that it's not plug and play. Right, so people don't look at that and say, okay, so we've got our whole team working on that for 6 months and it's going to take that. Right, it's not, there's no simple translation across the org. And that causes churn, which in turn creates waste for us. Right, so that's really where I've gone, is where are we wasting time? Where are we spending time on things that if we could find a way to simplify, everybody's life would be more simple and we would still remain as productive. So I've been working towards this middle ground that fits our company and our needs. So that's the direction that I've been trying to go.
That's fine. I mean, I don't think it's right or wrong, right? I think to me, story points are this means to an end of putting together, there's this notion of high-level planning and road mapping. I mean, I'm in the middle of this right now,
right,
with a team. So I have a team that one of the teams that I'm coaching at the moment, the best way I can describe it is they sprinted too soon. They did no release planning, or they did insufficient release planning. They dove in and they're sprinting at a time.
Right.
So we have, oh, and by the way, someone made, a management team made a high-level guess for them. So the managers got together in a traditional business like yours is,
mm-hmm,
and they did high-level manager sizing, with an architect or something, but they didn't engage the team. But they looked at the requirements early on,
mm-hmm,
and they were forced, based on their process, their lifecycle model, to what? To guess. So they set an expectation of, we will deliver this scope by this date.
Right.
And they threw those stories, if you will, that scope, that content mix into the team. Well, the team is they didn't really even share the commitment with it. They shared the commitment, but not, the team sort of knows they're on the ticket, but they think they're agile, so they're sort of, it's unclear to the team what they've committed to. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, I get it.
Right, because someone else made the commitment, and they're just sort of trying to be agile. Now they're dutifully sprinting, and they don't know where they're going. The leadership now doesn't know, right, you know, so the team is sprinting and delivering stuff, so they have a velocity,
mm-hmm,
but there's no map. The leadership does not know where, if they're on track or not, if you will, because they tried days, they made a traditional estimate. And the teams, since they have no velocity, these are new teams,
right,
they're struggling with how do you connect the dots, and they don't know where they're going.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really hard for them to make adjustments because they never did release planning. So I think part of this stuff is getting your way about you to begin with, right, and doing that high-level mapping and allowing yourself to make adjustments. I think part of the power of the points or the release planning was to understand that, yeah, I've got ambiguity and I'm going to narrow this over time. So leadership, this is not a commitment to 100% of the scope. This is a commitment to what? There's a 50% set of scope that's guaranteed. There's a 25% scope that's what? That's riskier.
Sounds peachy, but we are 100% committed.
Yeah.
Right, so that's where things get challenging on our end, right? Because we communicate our commitments to the business, to the sales team, to training, to documentation, to everybody else that's involved.
Don't you think that's a mistake, though? I mean, from a pure, forget agile versus waterfall. I mean, how can you commit? You've been at this business for 10 plus years. What you just said, so 9-month horizon,
right?
And you're 100% committed with a gun to your brain,
right?
That you're going to and planning at a level of granularity at how when you first made that commitment, at what level of granularity did you have your requirements?
Right, they were So actually, for this release. Everything, this is our second go-round on these set of features. We got started, had an acquisition that paused everything. So now we're picking back up with that.
Did that sound too judgmental to you? I wasn't trying to judge you, per se.
No.
I'm just saying that's the disaster. I mean, we need to stop that, Josh. That's the disastrous mentality that gets us into this crap to begin with, don't you think?
Yeah, but it's also...
I mean, guys like you and I need to throw our bodies out there and say, no, we're not going to put up with this crap. This is how we're going to do things. Stop thinking that way. That's the wrong thinking model, Mr. CEO. We can't commit. When was the last time when we committed to 100% that we delivered it? Never. So what is that Einstein? What's that Einstein quote?
So, but that never isn't never for us.
Okay.
We have delivered
100% with a 9-month okay.
So, granted, it was a death march in the classic sense.
Okay.
Right.
So, the fine print.
Right.
Thank you for sharing the fine print. I think it's my job, actually. I can't even communicate to you how I am in the same, how closely I am aligned with what you're talking about at the moment.
Right.
And I look at one of my jobs, it's a very difficult job, it's a finesse job,
right?
But it's a disaster. This sort of, and then there's the commitment word, you use the commitment word, and you said it with relish, like we're committed to it, and there's a positive connotation to commitment, but there's this negative connotation of, I mean, teams can over... You know, what are they committing to?
Right.
Do they really know what they're... I want teams to be committed. I want teams to work hard.
Right.
I want them to be engaged.
Right.
But I don't want to kill them
right.
along that process. Right. So there's sort of that balancing act.
Right. Yeah, and
what's
right,
so what's the answer you're doing now? So the middle ground that you're... For the Metacaster...
Where
are you... What are you exactly doing now?
We are evolving that process for our next release and some of the things that we're talking through right now as we... essentially plan how we want to plan, is to, very similar to something I pitched a couple of years ago, develop a high level of effort ranking for each feature or story, and then based on feedback from the product owners, dig into details based on the ones that roughly fit in the plan that we think. So we know we'll have high, medium, low, or whatever, and we know generally what those sizes are roughly. Now, the key mistake that I made last time I pitched this was that they were all the same unit. So it was story points across the board.
Okay.
So there were times when we would get to the level of effort, the big chunky sizing, and just run with that.
Right.
Right. So.
Oh, you wouldn't break them down. So that was sort of, you never drilled in anymore.
Right. So one of the statements that I made in one of our planning the plan sessions was that I think we need to have those be in separate units. So it's not a quick transition. Now, someone's still going to do the math and start trying to figure out what fits in where and want to run with it at that point. But the separation of units will force us to go down the path of getting the more detailed stories built out.
So one of the things I've been doing lately is release. It sounds like you're describing. I call release planning.
Yeah.
We haven't collaborated much together for a while, but there's this blitz planning, release planning thing, and that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm describing doing now with a team. So how do I reset the team's alignment? We're actually pausing. We're doing a sprint zero, so we've gone to sprint four,
right?
And then in my infinite stupidity or wisdom, I'm like, we don't know where we're going,
right?
So we need to do a sprint zero, and we're basically sprinting one day at a time. And I will release the team when we know where the heck we're going.
Right.
And every day we're sort of doing, we're not doing detailed planning. We're sort of using story points, but high level stuff, high mediums and lows.
Right.
I'm also looking at spikes. So research when appropriate. If something is really hairy and we don't know, I want to drill into it a little bit more, not much more, but a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
A hairy testing activity or a hairy development activity or architecture activity. But we're doing that. What I've been doing the last few years is not using points at that high level. I've been using teams and sprints, and that's had some success. So I use terms like a team to half team granularity. Now,
right.
I'm doing this in multi-team environments.
Right.
Right. So the estimate would be something like, for this epic, it's a half team for two sprints.
Right.
Or it's a whole team for a sprint or whatever. And that's actually helped us to, then we lay it out. Then we lay, to your point, we lay out the landscape with the product owners.
Right.
We look at, does it fit at that high level? Then we'll break those things into what I would call true epics, or what I call large stories.
Mm-hmm.
So these things would be in the 13 point to probably 40 point range.
Right.
So not finely grained yet. And we'll do the same thing again. This is pretty fast. So the nice thing about the team and the sprints is you can estimate that really actually
right.
pretty quickly at an epic level. So within a day or two, if the team is comfortable with it and they work together a little bit, you can put together what a release map at a high level.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're trimming.
Right.
Then what do we need to trim? Then we'll do it at a mid-level. And then that's where I'll commit. I'll commit to the business at sort of that mid-level.
Right.
But we haven't done finely grained stories yet. So there is some risk still.
Right. Yeah, and that's pretty similar to...
Is that sort of what you're doing?
Yeah. Yeah. So that is what we're doing where...
But your units are slightly different. You're using high, medium, and low. So T-shirt sizes is something that folks use at the epic level, right? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's our approach. So it's... There's
when do you commit? How deep do you go?
At that medium level. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you don't, I think it's a mistake to commit at that first
Correct.
Tier.
But we have in the past.
Yeah.
Right. So that's why, to me, the separation of units across those levels really forces us to get down to that medium level that you mentioned. That's where we commit.
Where I want days is probably at the lowest level. Where I don't mind days, so I mind days at the top tier. Like, I don't want people thinking, because you can't think in terms of days at that level.
Right.
If you're thinking in days or even weeks, it's the wrong model. You don't know. You don't have enough clarity. In the middle level, we're starting to bring in points and days lightly, not so much. Where I wouldn't mind the connection between points and days is at that lower tier.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the execution tier.
Right.
That's the team engaged tier. We don't do the whole team at that higher. We don't always engage the entire team. Rarely would I engage an entire team at that epic level.
Right.
We start engaging more team members in the middle tier, and then the full team is sort of engaged at the lower tier during execution. But there's risk there.
Well, that's an interesting thing that we've been toying with is level of inclusion.
I think you have to, because it's a speed play. It's a
right.
maturity play. It's how fast can you make a commitment. Commitments, wrong. I hate that word in some contexts, right? Commit versus not. Teams are committed no matter
right,
what,
yeah.
right? They're professionals. But it's at what level can you very quickly pull something together? I don't think we would have the luxury, you know, where in some companies, in some hierarchical companies, to wait for total team inclusion.
Right.
It takes too long.
Right.
But then you have to be careful about, you know, how you do that. You don't want it to just be the pointy-headed architects or something.
Yeah, no, we're moving to what we're calling feature captains.
Yeah.
To where...
Feature captains.
Yeah.
That's sort of...
And it's worked really well.
Yeah.
So we tried it on one team, and it's worked exceptionally well.
Define a feature. Like, how big is a feature? Is it like a, you know, 20 points. I'm just trying to.
So get, our is it big? We have our point mapping doesn't map directly to the numbers you're throwing out.
But does a feature cross sprint boundaries? Maybe that's another way of saying it. Would possibly
likely, but not preferred.
Okay, and engage multiple teams. So a feature is one team. And hopefully
a feature is something that a group of like three-ish people could do in a sprint.
Okay. That's all I wasn't pinning you down. I was trying to understand.
Yeah. So it's about that. There's times when it'll span a couple of sprints, or maybe it's a bigger feature and we need four or five people, things like that. But those are our general team sizes that when we start working on a feature.
So a team is only working on two or three features at a time, yeah, in sprints.
Correct.
In different states.
Right.
Okay. All right. Right. So it's not a 2-point story using that measure. It's not a micro. It's not a very small trivial.
Well,
story.
Again,
you don't like. I keep.
No. A 2-point story for us is relatively big. Quite
really?
Honestly, yeah. So we actually deal in fractions of points more often than I prefer.
Really?
Based on that statement that I made many years ago.
Holy cow! I've never heard of fractions of points. Really?
Yeah.
Holy cow. All right.
Yeah, so we in fact, we have the rule that if anything is sized at 5 points or larger, it's too big. And
really?
It has to be broken down. Right? Oh. So that's our.
And I'm not judging that. I'm just saying I have an entirely different. Our breakdown point is what I said for the last, you know, I mean, there's exceptions to teams, but gosh, it's been in the 8 to 13 range. So if it doesn't fit into a sprint, so.
Yeah, but you're going with the Fibonacci.
I'm doing
so, right,
yes.
And we're not. So it's linear on person days, essentially.
Exactly. See, that's
right. So it doesn't scale like yours does. So it's strictly, which is where the math comes in. Say, okay, so a 2-point story is three people for 4 weeks. So that's,
you know, let's flip
60
it,
days.
Yeah, let's
effort.
Flip the conversation around. I want to hear what you say to this. So I have a team I'm coaching now, and I basically have reset them. I got them. They were doing, and they're a new team, so they were struggling with points. They're struggling with estimation, but they were in the weeds. So I gave them half, you know. So the hours, when we did sprint planning, I have this. If they could only do half days, the finest grain time units were not hours. They had historically done hours.
Mm-hmm.
I told them half days. I said you can have a three-day task if you want. You need to break it down based on your knowledge, not based on some arbitrary size, quantum or something. I talked to them about swarming a lot. I talked to them about, you know, just guessing at their velocity. They're in the middle now. They took on three stories in their sprint. One that was serial through the sprint for half the team, roughly,
mm-hmm.
and two stories that are sort of serial for another half the team,
right.
And they're swarming on one or the other. I was trying to... They were worrying about the hours, and they weren't focusing on getting stuff done.
Right.
And they were failing. They had a repeated pattern of just failing sprints. They would work hard.
Right.
But they were having the different. They were trying to manage to the Gantt chart.
Yeah. Well.
So forget the leadership for a second. I want to bring the conversation down to one of the things I worry about with points and everything is I think teams focus too much on the hours. That's why we wanted to abstract it. I want them to focus on execution and throughput.
Mm-hmm.
Estimates don't matter. They matter for your leadership, but at a team level, I want the team to throw out their thinking about hours, and I want them to focus on how do you get fill-in-the-blank stuff done, as much stuff done as possible.
How would you feel
in
that
blank? Fill-in-the-blank. So how do you feel about that? So at an execution level, I want them to sort of not care about that crap and just get it done. Thoughts?
I like it. I haven't seen it in practice yet. So it's one of those things of how long do I chase that? And is that a pipe dream that I'm chasing?
Really?
Yeah.
I see. I've seen it.
Okay. And I haven't.
So. I've seen the throughput. I've seen the corollary, which is the hours are getting in the way because folks are... All the conversation is around what?
Right.
I have 2 hours left. Oh, what did I burn down? You committed to 10 hours. Now you have it 2 hours. You only gave it 2 hours today. You owe it 2 more hours. When are you going to give it the 2 hours? there's all these hours and mathematics. They're engineers. They're having all this mathematical discussion around the estimates and the game plan. What do I want?
Right.
I want you to get stuff done. I'm going to say it. I want you to get shit done.
Right.
And as much, not just shit, I want as much of the highest priority shit done that a team can do.
Right.
Which is different.
Right. And I get, so the part that I haven't seen, and I agree I have seen exactly what you mentioned, is the ability to truly disconnect from the estimates.
It's hard.
Right. So that's what I have not seen. And that's one of those things of, that's why I'm second guessing myself, right? Second guessing the basics. And everything you're saying says at some point I'm going to come back and say, why did I second guess that? But where I'm at right now is, do I stop trying to force this to happen? And is it just causing us from not being as productive as we could because we're doing all these mental gymnastics to try and meet?
See, I'd encourage you to try some experiments. I am not affecting your top line. I am actually one with your top line planning, estimation, commitment to the business stuff.
Right.
You got to do something. What I worry more about, and you and I could argue about it, the nits of it, but what I worry about is the execution dynamics. It's the bigger penalty is teams blindly following what they thought was the right thing 2 months ago,
right,
and just blindly following it. I'd encourage you to run some experiments. Experiments like forcing a team to limit WIP. You and I've talked about
right.
that. Forcing a team. I've actually thrown teams into sprint planning where I didn't allow people to sign up for work. I've done sprint planning, not all the time, where we did no estimates. You estimated on the fly. You did team assignments on the fly. I've done sprint planning where a team could only sign up for 50% of their capacity. That's all I would give them.
Right.
Because they were terrible with their planning. And what I was saying, you know, if you're terrible at planning, I'm like, all right, what? I'll give you 20%. It's actually, I'll give you something that you think you can slam dunk get done.
Right.
Now I want you to go, what am I trying to do? Like, I'm trying to defocus you from the darn estimates to getting stuff done. And oh, by the way, I want you to what? And then I want you to be ready to pull more work. Because I want you to get into the habit of what? Exceeding, this is the other insidious thing about estimates, is like when you, what if you're meeting them?
Right.
Then you're done. You can go, no one would tell you this, but they're what? The estimates are driving all of the activity.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll, not never, but it's hard to get stretch.
Right.
And what I want in that case is let's start practicing what stretch feels like. Asking for more, because let's try it one time.
Right.
I guess I don't have. I'd love it if you would in a couple sprints try some experiments like that before. Not that you've thrown in the towel, but experiment early on in your release cycle. No, but with weird dynamics like that,
yeah.
Right? On a team, not across the board.
Yeah. So our issues are not at the execution level. It's at the release planning level where things get messy. Execution level, I think we're pretty good. Can we get better? Without a doubt. And I'm more than willing to try some of those ideas to try and crank it up a little bit. But really the challenge that we have as is just laying out that 9-month plan and nailing it.
Okay.
Right, because I have the impossible job, right, of building a plan that's perfect. Right.
See, and I, and you and I, you know, we'll just agree to disagree. I think you have. I think that nut. I mean, and I'm giving myself this advice, Josh. So I'm not sharing with you frivolously.
Right.
But I think you and guys like you and I have to hit that nut too, which says we have to attack leadership who thinks that there's 100% commitment,
mm-hmm.
and that plans never change, and that you just suck it up to plan. Because it's not a lack of commitment. I want that volatility. I want those adjustments, those
right.
micro adjustments, those discoveries all along the way that you're going to have. And I think if you and I are in any organization where we don't have some fluidity at the top line,
right.
it's going to hose us at the bottom line, even with the execution. Right. I mean, you said that you have death march things, right? So you have high performance teams, or you're getting execution, but inevitably we get these death marches. Both you and I.
Right.
I'm not saying we're going to change the total view. I mean, you have an entire, I know that CMM here, you have entire meetings and
right, yeah.
checklists and processes and phase gates and all of this stuff is wrapped around that. But we have to challenge that a little bit.
Well, and we are, one of the best things that ever happened to us is we purchased a software as a service based app. So that's tipped everything on its ear, right? Yeah. Because we've been historically a heavy on-premise.
So as an example, so that's giving you a disruptive example.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we're throwing out all of these challenges and everybody's saying, well, we've never done it that way. I'm like, well, we've never had a product like this. So it's opened the door to drive this change. So that's my plan, is to use this as that gold standard of this is how we can do it. This
I have
is
a silly question for you.
Yeah.
Maybe to wrap up the Medicast, because I think we may be. So why can't you just fudge it and commit to 80% and internally apply some fluidity for yourself, for the team? Why can't, so 100% is relative. So your organization could commit. You could release plan at 75%.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be your 100% commitment.
Right.
We can use terms like padding or buffering. I don't even know what. What I'm not saying is you will sandbag to that level. If you have the extra capacity, I would want you to over-deliver.
Right.
But why can't you do something as simple as that? Is that, I mean that's, we, and I'm going to use the L word. Why don't we just lie and say this is my 100% commitment, but we're planning at 75%. And it could be your 100% commitment. I mean, it's a lie, but it's also it has great degrees of the truth. Why do we have to run it to 100%?
Right, so we are running to 100%, exactly, right? So I'm not saying we have exactly 4,000 person days and we're planning a plan of 4,000 person days, right? We have our known drag, and that factors into our overall velocity. So we use the velocity that we have, the yesterday's weather, but it's really last releases weather. Of these are the number of points per person that we can get done based on history, right? So we use that, and that's not 100% jam-packed.
Okay.
Right, so that,
So you have flexibility in the things. Is it just, so what causes the death march? And again, I want to wrap us up on this, but, and I'm using that, I'm not overanalyzing it, but you had a death march. So now you do release planning, you do buffering, you use yesterday's weather. My gosh, there should have been no death march. What do you think the root cause of that was?
All of the classic things. Our drag percentage has stayed relatively consistent, so it's not that we've had consistently more drag that has caused that. What has been our biggest issue, and we've gotten better at this. If you look release over release, our death march has been shorter and less consistent. Whereas when we started, it was 2 and 3 months, 60, 70, 80 hours, weekends, all that stuff.
But it could be, I'll throw things out there. I'm just looking for, and I know there's not one root cause, but I could say, underestimating technical complexity, technical debt drag, inexperience of the teams.
Technical debt has been the biggest issue.
The biggest issue?
Yep.
So quantify that. So not having automation, not having stuff like that, or it's just the code is just brittle, and it's hard. It's much harder to sort of extend it than one would think.
Working on automation is one of our problems that we're solving. So fixing that and legacy code.
Okay.
Right.
I'm not judging you. I'm trying to not talk as much as I normally do, and I'm trying to mind. I mean, this is good stuff for the Metacasters.
Yeah.
It's just what's happening. So it's just that legacy debt that's sort of dragging you down.
Yeah. It's like, oh, if we want to do that, we really need to fix this.
Right. Right. We didn't understand that until we went in there.
So it's not that it's brittle code, it's that it's a big app that's been around for a while.
And extensibility is hard. So it's less brittle breakage, it's more brittleness to extensibility.
Right.
Fast refactoring.
Right.
Okay. All right. Cool.
So, and then trying to do the right thing, right, of doing that and not...
Well, you don't want to neutralize that in the team, so you want to sort of honor that.
Right, so very big on fixing broken windows, right? So that's something that I preach like crazy.
Got it.
You know, or the Boy Scout rule, leave it better when you left it than when you found it.
But that's a trade-off, that's extra time.
Exactly, right. So we're trying to do the right things, and there's times when it bites us in the butt.
This was a good conversation, Josh.
Yes, sir.
We got to one of them, Metalcasters. We have another one. We're going to do a Metacast this week. We're going to do a double dip. We may not post it as quickly. But I think we're over. This was a nice estimation discussion. I hope you enjoyed it. As always, we would love to get feedback, questions, comments at
you can reach us on Twitter, twitter.com/meta-cast, all spelled out, or our website, Metacast, that's with a hyphen between the A and the C. So you can email us, post comments, anything you like, hit us on Twitter, you name it, we will respond.
Absolutely. We're here again, okay? It's a new year for us, just a slightly later than usual, but a new year. So
it's the year of the dragon, so we're really
Is it gonna, the year of the dragon?
It is, yes.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So Metacasters, from beautiful downtown Raleigh, North Carolina, this is Bob Galen.
And Josh Anderson.
Shake.
And bake.
We're out.